We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Albert Breer is Monday Morning Quarterback, of course, and joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, good to have you this afternoon. How you doing?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Good. Did you know that you can get a Dustin Fox Ohio State football card for $17 on eBay right now?
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Way overpriced.
So is that only allowed now because of NIL, or were those in circulation before?
It was actually a high school card when I played in the Big 33 game, Ohio versus Pennsylvania. I talked about it earlier in the show. I'm like, this is, you know, one of these cards that's out there circulating somewhere. And like two people sent tweets. They went on eBay and bought them. They're like, can you sign them? Like, sure, I'll sign the card. It's not going to make it worth anymore.
He'll personalize it for you, Albert. He'll personalize it for you if you ask him nicely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe if you want to send me one, maybe I'll put it up in my backdrop here, Dustin. How about that?
Yes. You'll get one then if you do that.
Got to do that. All right, Albert Breer. What do we make of this Richard Sherman news overnight? My God, it just it seems to get worse and worse. Here's a guy looking to latch onto a team. Does this kind of kill that opportunity, or are we still waiting on details with this? How serious is this for Richard Sherman and his future?
Yeah, well, obviously it's pretty serious, and you're sorting through the details. And I think we can all kind of look at like what the details from the police are, and maybe we can all kind of put a picture of the timeline together in our heads. But I don't know if it's really fair to do that without having his side of the story, and obviously that'll get out there in time. And I think one of the things that should help him here is, just as far as the off the field stuff goes, he's been, pretty much a model citizen, through 10 years in the NFL. And right. So, I think most of the feedback I've gotten is that, this is obviously very out of character for him. And I know him personally too. And I would agree with that. This was pretty surprising for me to see. And, it's just kind of weird when you read the charge, you think one thing, right? And then, like, you start to hear the details, and it's something else completely. So it's just an interesting, day reading that stuff. And, you obviously don't want to believe that anybody is doing those sorts of things. So he'll have his day. And I think, most people would give him the benefit of the doubt based on his past track record and wait for him to say something. But certainly – for a guy who, wasn't having the easiest time getting the sort of contract he wanted for 2021, throwing something like this and doesn't help.
Albert Breer with us, the MMQB. Albert, Urban Meyer in some hot water again. What is this? He got subpoenaed because of this hiring of the Iowa strength coach?
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit more, I guess it sounds to me at least like it's a little more tangential to the case, in that, obviously you've got the athletes there that are that are suing the school and suing Chris Doyle, and I think part of this is just trying to gather information on what Urban knew, what the Jaguars knew before they hired him, and then what they found out after they started to kind of dig into his background. And so I think as much as anything else, this is sort of the price that the Jaguars and that Urban are paying for hiring the guy. That's not casting guilt on anyone, because, Chris Doyle's going to have his day in court when it comes to this stuff too. But I think more than anything else, it's just the court doing its sort of fact finding on a case and, going to somebody who has a personal relationship with the guy, somebody who hired the guy.
Hey, Albert, one of the things that we, well, we heard about it a lot in the very beginning when it first came out, but we haven't heard a whole lot since, and here we are a couple weeks from training camp. Deshaun Watson in Houston, is there any movement on either side there? Are the Texans talking to him? What's going on there?
Yeah, and I think it's sort of where it has been, which, you know, the pause button's been pushed on this, and the pause button's been down for a while now. You know, I think, you know, for the Texans, a big part of this is you don't want to trade away a 25-year-old franchise quarterback unless you can get a really good return, and selling him now would be selling him low, right? And so if you're the Texans, you don't want to do that. And to get out of that spot, they're going to need some sort of clarity both legally and from the league. And if you're another team, quite frankly, if you're going to give up an enormous haul to go and get Deshaun Watson, you're going to want that clarity too. You know, you're going to want to know, what's going to become of the legal situation, and you're going to want to know, what sort of impact any sort of suspension might have on this and how the league's going to approach it. So I think until one, the other, or both come down with some sort of, you know, ruling and give us all some clarity on where they stand, where things stand with this, I think you're sort of stuck in a holding pattern. And to me, what's going to be interesting is whether or not they put him on the commissioner's exempt list, which is in effect paid leave before the start of training camp. Because if they don't, then I think he's pretty much got to show up, you know, to avoid the fines, to avoid avoiding signing bonus money. And there's a lot of signing bonus money based on the contract he signed last year. There's just a lot there. And so, I mean, because this is a complicated legal situation, a settlement could come tomorrow. A settlement could come a year from now. But if it does go to the courts, we know it's going to take a long period of time to fix that. I don't know how the league, would rule before there's some sort of clarity legally. So, it'll be interesting to see over the next couple of weeks if settlement talks ramp up. The fact that things have been so quiet over the last few weeks does tell you that maybe they've at least explored the idea of a settlement again.
What are the odds he actually plays this year?
I don't think he's going to be on the field in week one. I think at the very least he gets suspended. And that's just sort of following, you know, what happened with Ben Roethlisberger 11 years ago, where Ben Roethlisberger wasn't convicted of anything, if I recall correctly, but the commissioner had basically viewed it as he's cast the league in a really negative light, and we've all had to be dragged through this, and this makes us, everybody in the NFL, look bad. So we're going to go ahead and put you on the sideline for the first six weeks of the season. And there was a condition on it then, if you guys remember, that knocked it down to four games, which he met those conditions, and it wound up being a four-game suspension. So if there's some sort of settlement here, my guess is that the commissioner would still wind up suspending him. If there's not a settlement, I don't think he's out there in week one. And I think it becomes that much more complicated for the league to deal with it. So I think there's a chance we see him, in November and December, but I don't think we'll see him early in the season.
He's Albert Breer with the Monday Morning Quarterback, joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bull and Fox here on this Wednesday afternoon. Back to the, the police blotter here. Frank Clark, who played his high school football here in Northeast Ohio at Glenville, big key for the Chiefs on defense. Is this the felony weapons charge? How serious is this? And is this looking, or is he possibly looking at missing some time as far as the Chiefs are concerned?
Yeah, I think so. And especially because he's got a prior record, and that, like, guys like that are in those sorts of situations have to be extra careful. And I don't think driving around with an Uzi in Los Angeles is being extra careful. I have to think there's going to be some sort of action from the league on this. And this is part of the deal. He's a great player, but the Chiefs knew what they were getting themselves into. And, Andy Reid has shown over the course of time, and this goes back to Philly, and Dustin, I'm sure you saw this with some of your teammates there. Andy's never had trouble with the idea of taking risks on players, it's a guy like Michael Vick, Tyreek Hill. He's went and pursued and acquired guys who've been in thorny situations. That's who Frank Clark was when he acquired him a couple of years ago, and they gave up a first and a second round pick to get him and gave him a $105 million contract. And so, I think he's going to be in the Chiefs roster this year. And, you know, I think, you know, we'll wind. I don't think the Chiefs are going to cut ties from him based on this. You know, but certainly I think, you know, you look at, like, what was in his past, the fact that something like this happens, I think there's certainly grounds there for the league to take action. And, you know, whether it's a one-game, a two-game, a four-game suspension, I would think there'd probably be some sort of discipline involved in this one.
Albert, we were talking earlier about Big Ben and the fact that apparently he's lost some weight and he's taken it serious finally for once in his career, trying to lean out and maybe rejuvenate his career to some degree. What have you heard about this, and do you think it's going to actually help him?
I would have to think so. I mean, I think, you know, all players, and, you know, at that position, because guys are playing so, you know, deep into their 30s and some into their 40s now, that, you know, all players have to kind of come to the realization that they got to live a little differently. It's not unlike it is for all of us. I'll tell you, I don't, you know, eat fast food like I used to, you know, and obviously for a professional athlete, that sort of stuff applies, you know. Now, do I think he's going on the TB12 method? No. In fact, I can remember a conversation I had with him, you know, training camp a couple of years ago about how he said, you know, he'd taken up, you know, cardio. And I said, oh, well, what are you doing? He's like, well, I just throw an extra 30 minutes of cardio into my workout every day, which is like, feels like something like me or you would do. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I don't know that he's ever been that, like, I don't know that he's ever been, you know, one of these guys that obsesses over everything that he puts into his body or, you know, the way his workout's set up. I just think that he's probably one of these guys that, you know, needed to be pushed and needed it to be a necessity. And now it is. And, you know, he had the elbow injury a couple of years ago that took him out. And, you know, I think those sorts of things have a good way of making a guy feel his football mortality. And if this is his last shot, you know, I think he's got to understand that, to play at his age, you got to do things a little bit differently. And it's good to see that he's adopting some of those things.
Hey, Albert, one of the things we talked about earlier today, and I brought up to Dustin, is we got the news on Al Bubba Baker, and of course he said he was elated, was crying to find out that he's the single-season sack record, has the record back in 1978, unbelievably, as a rookie. But the thing that I posed is, why did this take so long to get to this point? I mean, that's a pretty big number, a pretty big statistic, I should say. Why did the NFL or the powers that be wait so long to actually go and research this?
I think it's a lot of work. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, for a long time, I mean, I think, you know, I think the stat became official, what was it, like 82 or something like that, right?
Yep.
I think it was something like that. So, if you have 10 years of data or 15 years of data, now you're talking about one era. Well, now we're at the point where you got, you know, almost 40 years of data, and now we're able to compare, you know, say guys today like a Myles Garrett with a Lawrence Taylor or a Reggie White, you know, with a Frank Clark. You know, you're able to make those sorts of comparisons now over time. And I think because you've got like a little bit of a more of a sample size with the stats that you do have, that leads to a natural curiosity. Oh, well, I wonder how, you know, Deacon Jones would stack up against Aaron Donald. And so it makes all the sense in the world to me that it took a little while to do this, because the stat probably at first was viewed by some people as a little bit of a novelty, whereas now, I mean, I don't know, guys, I don't view like sacks as any more of a novelty than interceptions or, you know, run after catch or any of that other stuff, you know? And so, would it have made sense for them to go back and do this earlier? Sure. But, you know, it's a lot of work. And, you know, I think, you know, once you kind of get to the point where you got data where you can compare one generation against another generation, well, then the obvious next question is, well, I wonder how these two generations stacked up against that generation, you know, 50 years ago. And so I think some of the natural questions that come out of, you know, the historical comparisons that we might have, you know, guys today versus guys in the 80s or the 90s, you know, like how Mark Gastineau stacks up against Joey Bosa. Well, you know, let's go back and see how a guy in the 30s, you know, would stack up against those guys. I think those sorts of natural questions are what drove this sort of thing.
Albert, have you been following much of the Buckeye recruiting trail?
Yeah, it sounds like things are going pretty good, huh?
Yeah. I mean, my goodness, they got like, what, five or 4 or 5-star recruits already lined up. And it's, I mean, Urban, I think, had like 2 in his entire tenure at Ohio State. So, pumped about the Buckeyes, man.
Yeah. And
especially now, now they can all make millions of dollars off of car endorsements.
Well, I was told that, well, you guys couldn't, Dustin. Are you sure you couldn't?
Allegedly we couldn't.
Sure he didn't.
I saw some nice cars in the parking lot when I was
there. I drove a Corvette for a weekend. That's all they let me do.
I think the amazing thing about it is there's this assumption, and I think what's interesting is like, I think we all like sort of like looked at like the dominance over Michigan, the Big Ten, as sort of being like, you know, you sort of start to see that stuff as cyclical, right? So once it got to the point, and Justin, you were on the front end of like things really turning, right?
Oh yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, like I think a lot of people looked at that and said, okay, well, you know, Michigan was sort of on top of the conference for 10 or 15 years. And so, you know, you get to 10 or 15 years of dominance for Ohio State and it's like, all right, like at some point it's got to turn. And Michigan hires Harbaugh and that was supposed to do it and that didn't do it. And, you know, Penn State sort of bounces back off of the, you know, horrible stuff that happened 10 years ago. And James Franklin gets it rolling a little bit, but they fall short. And then Urban Meyer walks away unexpectedly after the 2018 season. And everybody's like, all right, that's it. And then Ryan Day comes in and he's recruiting better than Urban Meyer, which is crazy to say. But, you know, if you look at it, it's actually the truth. So, you know, it's just amazing to me, like, how smooth that whole thing has been and how they survived everything that happened, you know, with Terrell Pryor and those guys 10 years ago. You know, I think it's credit to Gene Smith and a lot of people in the athletic department for picking the right people. And then, of course, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, somebody like Ryan Day, who's never been a head coach before, for him to come in and recruit at this level and coach at this level without ever having done that job before, I mean, that's staggering. I mean, Urban Meyer has been a coach at Florida and at Bowling Green and at Utah before he got to Ohio State. And Jim Tressel was like one of the best coaches in the country at Youngstown State for 14 years before he jumped on and joined you guys, you know? So the fact that Ryan's right. doing this without having been a head coach before, I mean, to me is mind-blowing and really, really impressive.
Last thing, Albert, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win a national championship in the next 3 years, is he on the hot seat?
I mean, it'd be disappointing, wouldn't it? I don't know.
Oh, my God.
So you got to remember, when I was in school, there, Coop was the coach. And Coop,
yep.
I think if you recruit that sort of talent, and assuming all these guys become NFL players, like the guys who play for Coop, I don't think anybody said Coop was bad at the job. But, you know, I think it was frustrating for a lot of people seeing the teams that we had and how all these guys were going on in the NFL and becoming really good players in the NFL. It's like, how does that team or that team not – how did he not win it somewhere? You know, and
right.
so I think that's sort of what it becomes if you aren't getting – and, like, I think there are other guys that are there too. Like, Kirby Smart at Georgia is another one where it's like eventually, like he's got – I mean, he's recruited ass off there, and they've had great players, and a lot of those guys are in the league. Like that's something Kirby Smart's going to be feeling pretty soon if he doesn't win one, right?
right?
And so I think
right.
it's sort of like the right comparison is probably John Cooper, who, you know, I think modernized Ohio State recruiting and set the table for a lot of things that Tressel and Urban and Ryan have done, but never quite got over the hump. I think that if a guy like Ryan or a guy like Kirby Smart at Georgia can't win with the talent that they have on hand, they'll still get credit for having put the team together, but there'll be that thing hanging over them that, you know, as John Cooper found out, could eventually cost them their job.
Albert, good stuff as always. Appreciate the time and do it again next week. Thanks, bud.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.